This segment of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, and Mayfield Florists.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And good morning, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson.
And we are celebrating the people, the places, the events, history, and culture that make living in Tucson and Southern Arizona so gosh darn wonderful.
That's a shout out to my buddy, Scotty Wright.
Woohoo! And we invite people to visit us at fredandjeff.com, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and even subscribe to this tome of wisdom and entertainment on TuneIn Radio and iTunes.
Now, Fred... how are you feeling today?
What do you mean?
Well, I know since yesterday was National Fanny Pack Day.
Yeah.
You walked around with a fanny pack all day at the Festival of Books. So I'm just wondering how you're feeling.
I did not walk around with a fanny pack all day.
Isn't that what you 4th Avenue guys do? Walk around with fanny packs?
No, not at all.
Just in case someone's on 4th Avenue and they need an aspirin
or
a Band-Aid.
We are not St. Bernards. We will direct them to the appropriate... place they need to go.
Okay,
or
so then
get help.
Yesterday you celebrated National Potato Chip Day.
Offline, I'll tell you what yesterday actually was. There was a national day, but it's not a family-friendly.
No, I'm looking in the Tucson Happenings magazine right now. It was either National Fanny Pack Day, National Potato Chip Day.
No, I'll tell you.
Bake a Pie Day?
No.
Or Pie Day?
Yesterday was Pie Day.
Yes, it was.
3-1-4-1-5.
There you go. There's pie.
But... I'll tell you a day I celebrated offline because it's not family friendly.
Oh. But this is a family show, so
yeah, it is.
Careful.
So yeah, but yesterday was a blast at the Tucson Festival of Books.
Crazy fun.
You and I got to moderate some really cool authors.
And talk to a ton of people.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that was really fun. There were so many folks out yesterday, it was mind boggling. I'm sure today, folks, if you're listening to our show in your car, you're probably driving down to catch the back end of the Festival of Books. It's still happening.
Yeah, it is.
So,
all we can
enjoy.
Learn. So, lots of stuff going on besides the Festival of Books. Romeo y Julieta.
That's a great cigar.
It is a great cigar, but it's also a Shakespeare play.
Updated Shakespeare play.
Well, no, it's actually not updated. Well, it depends on how you look at
it. The setting is updated.
The setting is updated, but it is the
original. Is this in the 1950s?
It is 60s. It is the original text.
Right, but set in the 1960s.
Yeah.
Very fun.
1960s Rome, or Italy. It was really good. And across the board, the actors were phenomenal. But the guy...
Oh, you've seen it already?
Yeah.
Oh, Tian and I aren't seeing it till this week.
The guy who plays... A couple of people are double cast. So,
Montague?
No, he plays...
the St. Bernard?
No, I think you're right. Montague and the priest.
Mm-hmm.
Same actor.
Okay.
Totally different. I mean... It's hard to tell them that they're different actors, same actor.
Did you feel like you were watching a Monty Python sketch?
No, it was great. And then the person who plays the nurse and the prince, same person, and she is phenomenal. And that actually is 180-degree character change for her.
Very fun.
And it was just phenomenal production.
Good theatrical productions here in the Old Pueblo.
Yeah, and there's very few set pieces. It's all done multimedia, primarily done multimedia. So
there aren't even live actors?
No, they're all holograms.
Wow.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
I can't believe it.
You believe it. Believe it.
Wow.
No, it
you know, I'd like, speaking of believe it, I'd like to just take a moment of silence. I'm serious.
Is this the rest in peace truth?
Rest in peace truth to Leonard Nimoy, your hero growing up. Live long and prosper, Fred.
I was more of a Kirk guy.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were more of an Uhura guy.
No, I actually, my favorite character was always Bones.
Bones.
Comic relief.
Jim. I'm a doctor, not a radio personality.
That's right. A month from now... Let's see, that's exactly right. A month from now, the Greater Tucson Fire Foundation is having its 4th annual motorcycle.
Say that again.
Motorcycle poker run.
Yes.
And we'll talk more about that, but it's a...
Well, let's talk more about it now.
60-mile open road cruise around the Old Pueblo. I think it begins and ends at Casino del Sol. So those guys are happy about that.
I bet you.
I'm sorry. No, it actually starts up at Northwest Fire District Training Center on Star Commerce Way.
And then it ends at the casino.
Then it ends at the casino. Those
and
guys
every
are
time
clever.
You stop, you get a card, right?
You get
whoever's got the best hand at the end of the ride.
Yeah, you
wins.
get a
fabulous prize.
A poker card, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's very
and
fun.
It's a fundraiser. And the folks at the Greater Tucson Fire Foundation raise money to take care of our firefighters in the region.
You're a little bit tongue-twisted this morning.
Yeah, I am.
A little bit too much tequila last night?
No, not enough, actually.
I knew it. It's Lent, and you were supposed to give up tequila.
No,
I knew
cigars.
I
already gave up cigars. No, actually not enough this morning. I have not had my Bloody Maria yet. Tucson Symphony, George Hanson's last season as the big in the big chair as the maestro mm-hmm. for...
And music conductor. He's music director and conductor, right?
He is the maestro.
The maestro?
The maestro of Tucson Symphony. And this is his last season. I think he's coming back to do a couple shows next season, but he won't be sitting in the big boy chair.
Mm.
He'll just be a guest next year.
Last thing
I have, Jeffrey, is for our lovely Aunt Margaret, the April 11th, 96th annual Ballet.
Gee, you could never say it right.
Celebration.
Say it again.
Ballet.
That's not, it's incorrect.
You say it.
Ballet?
No, there's only one L.
Ballet.
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 The Baile. A
couple of Mexican guys can't even pronounce Baile. We're in trouble.
Baile celebration presented by St. Luke's Board of Visitors, which is...
the oldest charitable organization in...
philanthropic group in the old
Pima
Pueblo.
County, right. And of course, I've got tons of stuff. And this, folks, is just what's going on today.
See, this is where the inequality of the show really shines, because I have to go digging through for this stuff.
You don't dig through that stuff.
No, I do
you
research.
You were talking about the same stuff.
No. I do
every
research.
Every week.
I do research.
Okay, you have talked about the
St. Luke's
Home for the last 4 weeks.
You just pick up one magazine.
Dude, you know the old term? Work smart, not hard.
I prefer working
Here
hard.
Here I am with the Tucson Happenings magazine, smart.
No, I like breaking a sweat.
Yeah, I can tell. So, folks, tons of stuff going on after the show today. Head on down to right now, there's a big pinball tournament at D&D Pinball.
Yeah. On 4th Avenue.
That's right. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Liar. You would have said it earlier.
No, because I knew you had the magazine. Jeff, you're working smarter.
Also, at noon today, after the show, go on down to High Corbett Field, because the U of A is going to whoop up on some Utah rear end. That'll be good times. Or take the kids down to the Gaslight Theater and see The Ballad of Two Gun McGraw. The Savannah Park Food Truck Roundup's happening at 12, between 12 and 4, out on 5310 South Houghton Way, correct?
You
call it Houghton.
I just call it Houghton.
There you go.
That's how
South
I grew up.
Houghton, South Houghton.
I know,
place.
I know I'm disrespecting somebody, but I don't know them. So.
And of course, if you want to go check out Mr. Miyagi, he's down at the Tucson Bonsai Society monthly meeting, which is happening at the Catalina United Methodist Church.
The actual Mr. Miyagi?
Yeah, remember Mr. Miyagi?
Yeah, from
Daniel-san.
Yeah, from Karate
wax
Kid.
Wax on, wax off.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
you go.
But he's going to be there?
Altogether Theater presents The Snow Queen.
Pat Moreno?
No, he's passed away.
Well, then Mr. Miyagi's not going to be there.
Mr. Miyagi will always live in our hearts, Fred.
Okay.
Hi, Fred. Fred. Taming the Shrew, Fred. Happening down at... going to watch that at the screening room down on Congress. And of course...
Wait a second.
What?
Don't just gloss over that, because that's, I think, a National Royal Shakespeare Company
Brutish
production.
Fortune-hunting scoundrel.
I think it's one of those live event things.
Oh, I think you're right. It is. It's at the screening room on East Congress. You got to go check that out. And then, of course, the big deal tonight, one of the big deals tonight, is the Tucson Girls Chorus Annual Gala Duets and Dinner at the Tucson Community Center. Please go check that out tonight. And then finally, open mic at the Hut on 4th Avenue. Ah, two shout-outs to 4th Avenue in the Tucson Happening Magazine today.
Oh, wow.
Some stuff must be going on down on 4th Avenue.
Yeah, guess what is going on down 4th Avenue this coming weekend?
The
45th annual...
45?
Spring Street Fair.
Now, wait a second. You guys have two street fairs a year.
Yeah.
Have you always had two street fairs a year?
I believe... I was talking to somebody who actually started the organization.
Really?
Helped start the organization.
Ago?
Yeah. Or at least he claims that he did. You never know. You know, some of those guys, they're a little hazy on facts.
I've been here for 70 years, Fred.
But, yeah, so they actually tried to do three for a while.
And, three street fairs?
Yeah.
That's a lot of street fairs.
But they have the two, so.
So you didn't answer my question.
What's that?
Have they always had two street fairs a year?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'll have to come back and tell you later.
Folks, if you know the answer to this question, you could be in line for a fabulous prize pack.
Yeah, right? Including free tickets to the street fair.
Which is open to the public for free.
Really?
You're so magnanimous.
I don't know any of this stuff.
Oh.
I got to learn.
You do have to learn.
So, so the street fair is coming up next week. So it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And guess what else is coming up on Memorial Weekend? We're going to talk a lot about this bad boy.
What, Centurion Party?
The inaugural Tucson Rib Fest competition.
Yeah.
Eight. You got Rusty Truck Barbecue, Bobby Dean's Barbecue, Jonathan at the Tucson Cork. You got the Hog Pit, Mr. K. All these guys are coming out to compete with their barbecue and to raise some money for Steele Children's Research.
Excellent. Thing.
So more information on that, folks. The inaugural Tucson Rib Fest happening on the 23rd of May. And, of course, don't forget the Centurion Party, May 9th.
Yeah.
Good times raising money for
Tucson. Mother's Day is coming up.
Mother's Day, yeah.
Hey, just...
Finally,
we're cutting into our first break right now, but when we come back... we're going to be talking to some of our future innovators.
Yes. Yeah, so now, folks, this is a great part about the Fred and Jeff Show. We actually have Mr. Peabody's Time Back Machine going on right now.
Way back.
That's it. Way back machine. So we're going to step in the Way Back Machine, and we're going to zip back to
Wednesday
night,
the 11th.
At the TCC. And we're going to talk to some of these kids, and then zing. We're going to come right back and talk to Gina Murphy Darling.
So. Yeah, so if you listened to the show a couple weeks ago, we had the folks on from the Southern Arizona Science Fair. And actually, let me say the Southern Arizona Research Science and Engineering Fair. We're going to be talking to those kids.
Yeah. So stick around for more here on The Fred and Jeff Show.
He wore black denim trousers and motorcycle boots and a black leather jacket with an eagle on the back. He had a hot popsicle that took off like a gun. That fool was the terror of Highway 101. Well, he never washed his face and he never combed his hair. He had axle grease embedded underneath his fingernails. On the muscle of his arm was a red tattoo, a picture of a heart saying, Mother, I love you.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Anthony Cigar Emporium, the Downtown Tucson Partnership, and Sleeping Frog Farms.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt, and I am not here with my little brother Jeffrey. Apparently, he got lost in the Wayback Machine.
Oh my God!
And so I got here to the Tucson Convention Center, the SARCEF, the Southern Arizona Research and Science Fair.
Research, Science, and Engineering Fair. Okay.
And so I got here, and Jeff was no longer with me.
You know, he might have been kidnapped by the geeks in plastic. I mean, I'm sorry, the Star Wars people.
Oh!
He could be being held prisoner by Darth Vader and clan.
Oh, maybe that could be very well true.
Sure, they're like the Dune Sea Battalion or something.
So regular listeners to the Fred and Jeff Show will remember a couple weeks ago we were promoting the SARCEF Fair, and tonight is actually Wednesday the 11th, and we are at the big innovators...
It's called Future Innovators Night. Future Innovators Night. This is the big open house. SARCEF's open all week. But tonight is the time when we have exhibitors here. We've got people doing things on stage. It's a big family event.
Yeah.
And we're here with one of our entrants who doesn't know whether she's won yet or not. Because the winners get announced, the winners get publicized tonight at 8 p.m. on the website.
Oh, well, so...
But only that they've won, not what they've won.
Oh, wow.
So that they have to come up, they have to come tomorrow for elementary school awards ceremony, or Friday for the high school and middle school awards ceremonies.
Okay, so essentially, we're going to be talking to somebody, but she's not going to know when, as we're recording this, if she won anything.
She doesn't know if she's won.
Or if she won what she won. Mm-hmm. But on Sunday, when this is actually broadcast...
She will have known. Exactly.
So there's some kind of cosmic element here of
exactly. There's
craziness.
There's sort of a time thing. It's back to the future-ish.
Yes, right. All right, so... Tell us your name.
All right, my name's Tapasya.
I'm reading your name tag.
All right, read
Tapasya.
Tapasya.
Okay.
Yeah. I go to the Academy of Tucson High School, and I'm a senior.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, we're standing here in front of your booth, yes. And we're going to take a picture of it. So if you go to fredandjeff.com, you'll be able to see Tapasya and her project. And maybe it may be award-winning. We won't know till
you'll know when you listen to this.
Suspense is killing me.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so tell us a little...
It's a very impressive project.
Well, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a senior?
Yes, I'm a senior in high school. This is my second time at SARSF. I was here last year, too.
Did you win big cash and prizes?
I won first place here, and then I was able to go to Ice Sweep, which is like an international for environmental junkies,
wow.
Essentially.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I got to go to the state level, and then I got first place there, too.
Awesome.
Amazing experience overall.
So you're independently wealthy now.
You know, college is getting expensive. I started my fund pretty late, so I think I'm compensating for the lack of money beforehand.
Tell us what your project is about.
All right, so I was working.
We can walk over here.
Let's walk over here know.
Yeah, let's share with the listeners. I'm going to throw you under the bus here.
Oh, man.
That when I met her, she's like, oh, I don't even remember what I did. That's because she's busy.
You're throwing me under the bus and running me over, man.
That's right. That's right. Well, you'll feel happier if you win. Throw it in my face.
All right. So I'm working with a parasite called Toxoplasma gondii. It has an over 30% seropositivity rate in the U.S., which means that over 30% of people in the U.S. carry this parasite.
And nobody knows about it.
Some people know about it when you're immunocompromised. So if you have like HIV/AIDS, if you're pregnant, things like that, then you start to show nasty symptoms. But if you're regular people like you or me, then you're pretty much asymptomatic.
So the three of us standing here, in theory, one of us has
the parasite. Running around here with Toxoplasma gondii.
That is true.
Wow.
And where does it primarily come from? How does one pick it up?
So that's, I don't know, you've probably heard pregnant women do not change cat litter. So the parasite can only reproduce sexually in the intestines of cats.
Okay, so this is very much a cat thing.
It's very much a cat thing.
So
yes.
Cat people probably need to be a little bit more aware of this than non-cat people?
Yes.
I am so totally safe, I can't even begin to tell you.
Yeah.
We have strays in our neighborhood, but I don't let them on the property.
No.
There's only one cat on earth I like, and that's Wilbur. He's safe. Because he's not infected with any parasites.
That's good to hear.
That's a safe one.
Yeah, they're virtuous. So what was the, the thesis or the
hypothesis? Yes.
Thank you for giving me that word.
Okay. A little background info really quick.
Yeah.
What's really weirdly cool about Toxo is it does brain manipulation. It's known as a zombie parasite. Let me just preface that, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, like I said, it can only reproduce sexually in cats, but it's mainly found in rats. And as we all know, rats hate cats because cats eat rats.
Right.
But the parasite has evolved to do whatever it can to get back into the cat. So it hijacks the brain of the rodent, and it turns its instinctual fear into an attraction to the cat.
So, wow.
Yeah.
It's the rat's mind control parasite.
Yeah.
So, well, maybe that's why.
Turning rats into zombies, yeah. So the cats will eat them.
Well, yeah. Maybe that's why some people are like cat ladies and acquire dozens of cats.
It could be cat men.
Or cat men.
So
you don't want to
be
sexist.
Yeah, no, of course not.
Your hypothesis is.
Yeah, so a lot of behavioral studies have been done to see what the brain manipulation does, but not a lot at the cellular level has been done.
Okay.
So there are three different strains. I was working with type 2 and type 3 strains. Type 2 is more harmful than type 3, and I wanted to see if the virulency would kind of have any effect on the cellular relationship between the cell and the parasite itself.
Okay, so
hopefully
you're what? You're
sense.
Like 17 or 18, right?
I'm 16.
You're 16, you're senior,
yeah.
And you're like freaking scary smart.
Were you chopping up mouse brains for this?
I was.
There you have it. There's 16-year-olds cutting up mouse brains, and you're doing a radio show.
Yeah, I'm hanging up being a goofball. So then what did you discover through this experiment?
So I found that overall, type 2, the more harmful one, the cysts were found to be much bigger than type 3s, which makes sense. There's more parasite. It's more harmful. And I found that they were also closer to the cell that it would infect, which also makes sense. If it's more harmful, then it's closer to the cell. It provides for a more in-depth, aggressive infection.
Okay, so type 2 is more, okay.
Yeah, type 2 is more harmful. That's why we see it closer to the cell that it infects.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So what can people walk away with from your experiments knowing?
So prior to my experiment, a lot of people would use really thin sections, really thin brain tissue sections, like 50 microns.
Okay.
But my project used 160 micron thick sections, almost three times the width, I guess.
Right.
What that enables us to do, I had my laptop here that did the cool like 3D thing, but I don't have it right now. What's
wouldn't
really
help
cool,
on the radio, though.
I know. What's really cool about the thicker sections is this is the first time we're actually able to look at the entire relationship that the cell has with the cyst. Usually with the thinner sections, you'd have to stitch it back together and it would lead to a lot of loss of data and all these bad things. So
wow.
Now that for the first time ever, we're able to actually analyze and visualize the relationship that they have, we're one step closer to treating the symptoms and finding a cure for it. Because right now, toxo is non-curable. And if you can't see it, you can't cure it. So that's really what my project was aiming to get through.
So in terms of innovation, what you really innovated was cut bigger pieces of mouse brains than other people were cutting.
Yeah, so there are a few more steps after that.
But we have to simplify it for us.
Yeah.
This is Fred and I that are talking about.
Yeah,
we're not future Nobel Prize winners. So. All right, well, thanks a lot. I'm totally out of time. But thank you for doing this.
Oh,
congratulations. Or good luck. I guess it'll be, hopefully we're congratulating, but it's good luck now.
It's good luck now.
And hopefully by Sunday when everybody hears this, you will have been a winner.
Fingers crossed.
Yay. Fingers crossed it is.
All right, thanks. We'll be right back on the Fred and Jeff Show.
She blinded me with science. She blinded me with science.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, and 1702 Craft Pizza and Beer.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother Jeffrey.
Hola, Tucson. That was an experiment, folks.
He just spun around the mic.
That's it.
A little ballerina.
A little stereo surround sound for you this wonderful Sunday morning in the old Pueblo.
It's not an omnidirectional mic. I think it's...
You don't know that.
Well, whenever we come in here, they always say, look at the diamond, because if you go anywhere else, it's not going to work.
Yeah, but you notice whenever you listen to the show on iTunes or TuneIn Radio or the website...
I don't listen to the show. Mom and Dad are the only ones who listen to this thing.
Well, Auntie Margaret, she wants to hear her name, you know.
Well, she only listens
when... And once she hears Margaret Korsman, click, that thing goes off.
Yeah, but up to the
Bali. Back watching Maddox.
Yeah, right. Oh.
Matlock, not Maddox. Matlock.
Golden Girls.
Golden Girls, there you go. So yeah, so every once in a while we talk to people and you hear they're over here or they're over here. And so I thought, how fun would it be if we just did surround sound Fred and Jeff Show? But it's probably not going to sound the same.
Yeah,
right?
It's not going
to. I'm just here to amuse you, Fred.
I hope it reads on the radio because that'll be amusing.
That will be pretty funny.
Anyway, so we are sitting here in the studio back from our time warp.
Zing!
From Sarsep.
Mr. Peabody's time back machine.
Way back machine,
yes.
And with us is Gina Murphy Darling, also known as Mrs. Green.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Whatever. You guys are cracking me up.
That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for.
As long as we can make ourselves laugh, we really don't care about anyone.
That's not true. We are the thinnest skinned radio host out there.
Thinnest skinned?
Thinnest skinned, yeah. People will call us and say nice things to us. We're so happy. Then people call us and tell us that we're goofballs. It takes me a couple days to get out of that.
Okay, you are the thinnest skinned. Again, I don't listen to the show. I only record it.
Yeah, but you have to take the phone calls off of our friend Jeff hotline.
I read the garbled translations.
Oh, man, you're the worst.
Yeah, then I call. When I call people back, they're always happy because I'm giving them stuff.
This is true. What are we giving away today?
We can give some roses away.
Want to give some roses away from our friends at Mayfield
Floors? Oh, and we're going to be giving away a book, too.
Oh, very good. So, yeah,
so anyways, Gina, how you doing?
Oh, you're still here. Hey.
I'm still here.
Congratulations.
Hey, I'm fine being in the audience.
No, we're here today to talk about what you're up to. Gina Murphy, darling. Gina, where are you from?
New Jersey. How long do you say that? Like, I've been here 40 years and I lived there 25, but I still say I'm from New Jersey.
New Jersey, huh?
Yes.
Well, you've lost your Jersey accent.
I have.
Where, where from in New Jersey?
117 on the Garden State. That's what everybody goes by. What exit you were on, the Turnpike or the Parkway? And I was 117 around Keyport, Sandy Hook area.
All right.
Yeah.
Sandy Hook.
Sandy Hook.
So did you know the Cake Boss?
I did. I know where his store is.
Yeah.
But I didn't know him.
Oh.
He's a lot younger than I am.
Is it like a good bakery? Have you ever gone there,
Carlos? Oh, yeah. And that whole area is just like Italian, Little Italy, Dine, Go to Heaven.
Oh, wow.
Eat lots. Mm. Yes. I know that area.
So what brought you out to the old Pueblo from New Jersey?
Was getting divorced. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine was also getting divorced. And she said, come try Tucson for a year. And I thought, oh, man, I'm going to miss New York. I'm going to miss New Jersey. And obviously, I did not. So I stayed for 40 years.
Wow. And what brought her to Tucson?
She was getting divorced.
Oh, so
she had been here. Her husband had been stationed at Davis-Monthan, and she loved it. And she came out with her two kids, and it was a really great move for me.
So you backpacked out here to Tucson?
Whole different path. Man, I tell you, people back there still have stereotypes about what it's like in the Old West.
Well, we just learned something today. Because typically when we talk to people, they come out here. Well, back in the day, it was for tuberculosis.
Tuberculosis? Can you say that again?
Tuberculosis.
Right. Are you chewing gum?
No.
No, okay. But like Judy Collins, she came out, she had tuberculosis. I didn't know that.
And then, neither did I.
And then they came for the weather.
Wow.
And now there's a population here for divorce.
Exactly.
So divorce or broken trucks.
That's right.
You know, I was driving to California, my truck broke, so just figured I'd stay here. And that was 27 years ago, next June.
And the truck's
still
on the curb.
Yeah, we've heard that a lot, Gina.
Yeah.
A ton.
Well,
which
here
is
I am.
Kind of fun how people show up in the old Pueblo.
It changed my life.
How?
Big time.
What were you doing
in
New Jersey?
Well, I was going on the New York Wall Street track. You know, mm-hmm. There's a little Jersey speaking out, Wall Street track. And I came here and I got a job for Pima County Adult Education. And then my whole life became about doing social services. And I worked for the refugee program and started PACT and then became Providence. So it was a whole working with at-risk families and their, you know, the whole social service arena. So I didn't go into the financial area. It was a big, big, big switch.
And were you comfortable initially with that switch? Was it just like a job you could get kind of thing?
It was a job I could get. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, my job was $2.83 an hour, which I made my whole family swear they wouldn't tell any of my friends back east that I was making that much money. I mean, it was a long time ago. And then before you know it, within a year, I was office manager. And then I became an assistant to the president. And I started really learning about true at-risk populations and about how I could be in service to them by giving them skills that I thought everybody was born with, like how to read and how to write and parents who read and parents who wrote. So it was a big eye-opener for me in my little bubble that I lived in.
And back then, was there a big issue with folks not speaking English?
Yes. Yes. So we taught ESL classes and got a lot of
ESL
folks to
English
as a second language, right. And then got people to get their GED. And it was a continuous eye-opening experience about the challenges people face that I never had to growing up.
And for some crazy reason, it never stops.
It never stops.
There always seems to be a kid or an adult out there that needs help to learn how to read. So good for you.
It's true.
That's phenomenal work that you were doing. And you left that work to do... What? Where did you go from
there? To kind of retire, but then I went to the rainforest in the Amazon, deep in the rainforest, and I saw what real clear cutting of the Amazon rainforest felt like, and the carnage, and then, you know, this may
now,
sound
when you
funny.
Say carnage, what does that mean?
That means like they clear cut these huge trees, and then it rains, so there's lots of erosion of the soil. So I just thought about the trees, and you know, that's horrible because we need those trees for all our medicines and people's homes. But then I saw what it was like to see the devastation to the land when the rain comes, because you know, the trees helped absorb the rain.
Sure.
So it was like putting it all together, and I thought people up here in the north aren't connecting it necessarily in a way that it connected with me.
Hmm. So, why do you think that is?
I was pretty deep in the rainforest. I wasn't on a tour boat. I was on a little tiny like boat with an engine, a little terrified. And we kept going deeper, deeper, deeper into the rainforest and met with some of the natives through translators. And a lot of the stories were very sad ones where they had, some of the natives had sold their land for what seemed like a lot of money, mostly to graze cattle to feed us.
Your family, right.
Us. Well, mostly it's exported.
Oh, but I mean, they were selling their land to feed themselves.
To feed, to get a little bit of money.
Right.
And then thinking that was going to be great, even though they lived off the land, not so great.
Right.
And realizing that it has a ripple effect and a, you know, I was, somebody this morning, we had this exercise about taking a deep breath, and I thought, every time we take a deep breath, there's oxygen from the rainforest in that breath. So we need those trees. We need those darn trees.
Oh, yeah.
And as we're destroying them, it's causing a lot of challenges for us as human beings that I hope I can do something about.
Right. Deforestation.
Deforestation.
So about how long ago was that?
Seven and a half years ago.
Seven and a half?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how is deforestation happening now? Is it still happening in as fast as it was happening almost a decade ago?
It's accelerated in some places. Like, they're really getting politically stronger. Like in Peru and Ecuador, they don't have deeds to the land. It's not how they lived. They lived on the land. So there are organizations that are helping them get organized so that they are getting deeds to the land. So it's slowing down a little bit in Ecuador and Peru. I mean, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of money involved, a lot of power. So it's slowing down a little bit there. Borneo, not so much. They're clear-cutting their rainforest to grow palm oil trees because palm oil is a cheap filler that we don't even know about. Like, I was thinking, what the heck is palm oil? So I'm always on this discovery of, like, so palm oil's bad for us? Well, it is bad for us, and it's in a lot of food. Cheap, cheap, cheap filler. And in Borneo, they're burning the forest to plant for palm oil. Not so good. Not good for any of us.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. So you've gone like 180 degrees on the Wall Street track. Your family changes. You move to Tucson. You enter the social service.
Yes, it's crazy.
Yeah, and you're helping families. You retire, take this once-in-a-lifetime trip, and from there, you find your new vocation.
I know, it is. It's my swan song.
Well, what's the new vocation? Tell us about the new vocation.
Is really, in a very non-political way, helping to create a larger global community of people who care about the planet. Because I believe every one of us does. And if we don't polarize it in a conversation about one particular thing, everybody wants to take small steps to either eat healthier, shop locally, you know, the things that you're talking about. Those are all local restaurant owners who are local vendors who are going to do something for charity. So there's something to being a locavore that really has good financial economic sense and impact.
And now you're talking about the Tucson Rib Fest.
The Tucson Rib Fest,
yeah,
really.
Inaugural Tucson
yes.
Rib Fest.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, and in my never any commitment to eat less meat, I do have guilty pleasures, and ribs would be right up there. An occasional rib.
I love it.
So it's to help people to be conscious and to not preach, not blame, not shame. Just to get them aware of the things they can do. Don't use 3 gallons to brush your teeth. You can do it like turn the water on, brush your teeth, and then turn it off.
See, that's you've kind of struck a chord with me on that one, because I've got a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, and they fight us to brush their teeth. And one of the ways that we try to figure out whether or not they're brushing their teeth is you listen to hear the water running. And you hear the water running and you think, okay, they're in there brushing their teeth. What are you guys doing in there? We're brushing our teeth. Okay. And then they come out and the only thing that's wet is the sink. Dry
right.
Toothbrush, dry teeth.
So you can help
so,
that.
I mean, what is going on with that?
Yeah, it's a lack. We are so spoiled here because you just turn the water on for anything you need. And once you are aware that even in Tucson, you know, one of our famous people, Dr. Gary Napan was on my show, my radio show, and he talked about 2,300 counties in the United States in 2013 experienced severe drought. So you start being aware of it's creeping closer, and they're going to cut water allocations in Arizona within the next 2 years. So then your kids will be saying, what do you mean we can't use the water now? Oh, right. Yeah, we're being rationed.
Right.
Yeah.
What are we going to do with that pool?
No, the interesting thing, though, is, you know, Tucson in general has recognized that we live in the middle of desert. And the conservation ethic, I think, is fairly strong in this community. But, compared to like Phoenix or other places even across the country. But there's always more you can do.
So, Fred, when you were on the city council... You were one
I
of
was
the guys.
Pete, I was Pete the Beak.
You were, yeah, Pete
yes,
the Beak.
Yes, Pete the Beak.
isn't it true right now that the water table is at one of its highest?
Well, yeah, we
because
actually
of the recharge
as a community, and it was before me, and it continues after me. We started a massive recharge project up in Naver Valley, and because we're now recharging Colorado River water. Where the native basin is been allowed to rest and collect water as it rains and such. But what Gina said is true. We're overly reliant on the Colorado River. Multiple states are, and there's not enough water to go around. And truly, if you look at this issue globally, water is going to become more of a battle cry or the reason for war than oil or any
Absolutely.
Other natural resource that exists out there, because we're finding that it truly is finite in some ways, although we're spending a lot of time with recharge and attempting to use gray water and those types of things, but it's truly a major concern.
And on the national level, Tucson is a great place to be from. We have a lot of thought leaders, a lot of people at the university, the Institute of the Environment, the College
of Science.
Oh, the
Earth Studies, yeah.
Earth Studies, Biosphere. We are doing so much. I mean, I could do a show a week on just what's going on within the University of Arizona in terms of preserving our planet for the future. Mm-hmm. Lots
the
of Sonoran really
Desert
cool stuff.
The Sonoran Desert is such an amazing
it
place.
It is. It's really
the
it's a delicate.
The
biodiversity
is amazing. So, yeah, we absolutely have to protect that. So... Okay, we got to take a quick break, our last one of the hour. Folks, stick around. We got lots more here with Gina Murphy-Darling on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Rain, 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 rain. Tears keep coming down. I haven't seen my baby. Let it down. Rain, 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 rain. My pillow's soaking wet.
This portion of the Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by H&S Estate Garden, the Flight Grill at Pima Air and Space Museum, and PETA Jungle.
Now, time for more of the Fred and Jeff Show.
This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my little brother, Jeffrey.
Oh, Fred, you know what we need? Hola, Tucson. We need, like, a theme song.
We need psychological help.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
We have
here
it.
Here we go.
Do you not listen to this show?
That's our cousin's song, Sitting Bull. That dun, 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 dun. But we need, like,
that's not even close
snappy,
to where it is.
Snappy.
All right,
tunes.
You get on that, Jeff.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
You get on that.
All about Tucson.
Yeah.
Your ex-city councilman and his good-looking brother. Something like that.
Okay, we'll work on it. We will work on
Hola,
it.
Hola, Tucson.
So we are celebrating, aside from stupidity.
Hey, that's not very kind.
The people, the places, the events, history, and culture.
We're supposed to be a kind city, Fred.
We're a compassionate city.
And that saying mean things like that is not compassionate.
That's not a mean thing. I'm being truthful. The two of us together lower the IQ of this community for an hour a week.
At least one. We were 114, now we're 113.
Yeah, that's right.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
So we are talking.
We could do it to the theme of the A-Team.
No.
The Fred and Jeff Show. Listen on Sundays or Aunt Margaret will get mad. Something like that. We'll figure it out. Sorry, folks. I digress. We're here with Gina Murphy, darling, Mrs. Green.
And she just put out a brand new book.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. You're a published author.
But well, we've been talking about the environment and, you know, your history here in the country of the U.S. and in Tucson, you know, Pueblo. And we're talking about...
What?
Well, she's sorry. Okay.
I
she's
love
in New
the
Jersey.
Name of Gina's book.
What?
Your mother called. You'd better call her back. It's about your mother called, and in parentheses, Mother Earth, and you'd better call her back.
When mom calls me, it's usually about something.
Yeah.
But you always call her back.
No. Oh. No, she's listening right now going, yeah, I'm calling
he
him right now.
Never calls me back.
Right. I'm texting you a message.
He's
call me back.
He's the lesser of the two sons.
Yeah, I am.
I bet you our mom talks to our sister who lives in Madison more than she talks to us collectively.
And I talk to your sister on Facebook.
You do?
I do.
Oh, yeah. Christy is in the know.
She is.
Sometimes we have to talk to Christy to understand what's going on in her own backyard.
That is true.
So
she'll tell us.
That's
yes,
the girl
will.
Child.
In yeah. all, yeah, the youngest girl child. So let's talk about this book. Tell us the genesis of writing a book.
Well, I started the radio show, and I have unbelievable guests from all over the world that I interview, and I was learning a lot. And I think that people want to hear what they can do without feeling like they're getting yelled at or judged or picked on. So it's a little eco-savvy manual how to cut down on water, why it's important to shop locally. I have a chapter called Guilt-free flushing, brushing, and something else about how you can flush less in the toilet. And
oh, is that the whole thing? If it's yellow,
let it mellow. And
if
it's just
brown, flush it on down. Yeah,
that one is a good one. And also about what it really means to be a locavore and support locally owned businesses and why that matters. And about plastics. I mean, plastics, the first plastic bag is probably still on the planet somewhere in tiny little particles, nanoparticles, and we don't need to use them. And I don't know, you guys are about my age. I think I'm a little older, but we didn't have plastic bottles, and it's just such a disposable society. And I heard this woman speak one time, and she said, where are you going to throw that bottle? And the person said, away. And she said, well, there is no more away, because we have so many people on the planet and such massive consumption that we have to start looking somewhere to cut it back a little bit.
And that, you know, that's one of my good friends is starting to call me a hippie, that I've drank the Kool-Aid and I've gone overboard. But the reality is that even if you don't believe in man-made climate change,
right,
if you don't believe in all these things, as human beings, we have a responsibility to be good stewards of the resources that we're placed in charge of. And that's just a basic kind of a thing, you know.
And why aren't we?
Well, that's the thing. It's easy to be a good steward.
No. I disagree with you. I think it's easy to be lazy. I think
easy
it's
to be easy lazy?
To be lazy. It's easy to not carry your bag from home when you go to Trader Joe's to buy your groceries and just rely on their bags. I think it's easy to let the water run when it doesn't need to run. I think it's easy to not think about doing things differently than doing them differently for the benefit of all of us.
Yeah, but there's also, I mean, there's a financial motivation, right?
What is it?
Well, okay, so for example, brushing your teeth. Like, I don't even turn the water on until I'm done brushing my teeth. I don't wet my brush or anything else. And, you know, over time, that saves you money because you're not running water. I mean, you know, if you look at motivations for people, maybe your motivation isn't, well, let's save the resource. Motivation is, if I let this water run, I'm paying, you know, more money out the back door for on the water bill every month.
Well, that's good. You
know, and electricity, the same thing. Like if we all switch to CFL light bulbs and now LED light bulbs, your electric bill goes down. If you turn the lights off.
It's like cool stuff.
I got to tell
LED,
you, all kidding aside,
LED technology, that is so cool.
It is amazing.
Like, no electricity for this hugely bright light.
And I got to tell you guys,
and
I was very
years.
Skeptical of that. And over the course of the year, I've replaced all of my old round light bulbs with new light bulbs because you can get them for super cheap at like Ace Hardware or Costco.
Totally, right.
Yeah, they cost practically nothing. And sure enough, the electric bill did go down.
It does.
I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, there's all kinds of things that if you want it to be green, it's green in your wallet too. And so the book is about that a lot, to read labels, be conscious, and not feel guilty, just feel empowered that you're going to go out and make some of these changes.
Well, you're making smart choices.
We have a responsibility, and that this is just reminding people that everything is not an infinite supply to us to just dispose of.
Right. And the battle cry here should be, we've got to try to leave this place better for our kids than how our parents left it for us.
And that's my big motivation. I've got grandkids. I'm like, come on, guys. I got to do a little bit better job. So I'm highly motivated.
That's good.
I take umbrage with that statement because our parents created a world that, I mean, we are blessed.
I'm not casting aspersions.
The abundance of blessings, the embarrassment of living in having first world problems.
Yeah, but Fred, I'm not casting aspersions. What I'm saying is because they didn't know where plastics would take us, Now that we know,
plastics was the future.
Yeah, well, here we are. So now that we know where they take us, then we've got to be a little bit better steward with the information that we have.
That's the key, is being a better steward with the things that we have the ability to
control.
Small steps, big impact is what I call it.
So we got seconds left. Gina, how can people get a copy of this book?
Amazon.com. One day you're not on Amazon and the other day you are. And it's so fun. So you can just go to Amazon.com and put in Gina Murphy Darling if you want, or your mother called.
I'm going
to
be a smart aleck. Any local bookstores carry this?
Absolutely. Mostly books. Antigone. I just heard that Miraval's going to sell it. The Girl Scouts.
Nice.
Debbie Rich told me she wants to carry the book. So I'm trying to get it in every locally owned bookstores. Bookman's.
Excellent. All right. And you're going to give that one away, Fred, or are you going to keep it?
Well, if somebody calls us.
But I want you to read it first.
All right, folks. Go out and get your own copy, because clearly Fred's going to keep this one. We have no time left.
Give us a call. 520-428-5104. And not only will we give you this wonderful book called Your Mother Called.
But we'll give you a dozen roses from Mayfield's floor.
From our friends in Mayfield, yeah.
So give us that number one more time, Fred.
I have to look it up again. Okay, 520-428-5104.
All right. Gina, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Can I call for the roses?
No.
Oh, certainly.
Too late.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Absolutely. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And folks, go out there and make Tucson a great place to live, and we'll see you here next week on The Fred and Jeff Show.
Let's talk about the good time. Let's talk about the good time. I wish I could just go back to the days I'm speaking of. When a friend would meet you and a smile would greet you.
The Fred and Jeff Show is brought to you by our friends at Tucson Appliance, Unicom Graphics, and Architecture Design Group.